One pop diva salutes another. That's the voice of Jennifer Hudson singing last night at the Grammys honoring Whitney Houston, who died over the weekend. Joining us now is a friend of Whitney Houston's, Michael Zager, a professor of music at Florida Atlantic University, who worked with Whitney and her mother as producer and arranger. A sad day for yourself, a sad day for the Whitney Houston's family, and a sad day for the country, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Explain to me, I mean, as you just heard there, Jennifer Hudson singing, there are lots of voices that can hit the notes that Whitney Houston hit. There are many voices that have the same kind of raw belting power that she had. What made the difference for Whitney Houston? What made that voice as special as it was?
Well, I would say the fact that she was brought up in the church and sang in the church choir as a young child brought believability to everything that she sang. She was a gospel singer. And I think what made her one of the really great voices is the fact that you believe everything that she sings, or she sang on record, and came across in person as well.
So, I mean, this is a woman who, as I said, was the number one most highly awarded singer of all time, the only female act in the list of top 10 best-selling albums of all time, 170 million albums sold, 6 Grammys, 22 American Music Awards. Is it her recognition? Is it the achievements that she achieved during her lifetime that are her legacy?
Well, I think that that certainly enters into it, but I think it's more the fact that a singer like Whitney probably comes along, you know, maybe once every 20 or 30 years, if that often. And I think coupled with her beauty, to be that gifted is really what her legacy will be. And, of course, the fact that, I mean, she did sell 170 million albums, and her career was guided by Clive Davis, who's a genius. She was just so extraordinary. She was admired by opera singers as well as pop singers, every genre of music. All singers and musicians, and obviously the public, could react to her style of singing and her, as I said, her believability. I think that's what her legacy will be.
We're speaking with Michael Zager, who is a friend of Whitney Houston and her family, and worked for both Whitney and her mother Sissy as producer and arranger. So, what effect, if any, at this point, Michael, does her troubled personal life have on her legacy? Is that something that will be forgotten as we move forward?
Unfortunately, probably not. Just I guess it's analogous to Billie Holiday's legacy as being, again, you know, and that's one of the really great voices, but people know what her troubles were. And unfortunately, that will remain with Whitney. But I think for younger generations coming up, when they listen to her music, it's just going to be the music.
That's Michael Zager, who is a professor of music at Florida Atlantic University, worked with Whitney Houston and her mother as a producer and an arranger. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Also with us this morning is Steve Kandel, editor-in-chief of Spin Magazine. So, Steve, did the Grammys last night become a memorial? Did Whitney Houston's memory sort of dominate everything that went on?
Not in a maudlin way, necessarily. I mean, obviously, moments were maudlin, but I think maybe the fact that Adele won 6 out of 6 Grammys, you know, sort of in one fell swoop, matching Whitney Houston's total and kind of making the whole night about singing, sort of seemed pretty apt in a way that I don't think could have been remotely intentional. But, you know, the whole sort of nature of what the big winners were seemed in its own right kind of like a celebration of her and what she did.
Well, explain that to me. Was it just Adele's big 6 wins that made it a night about singers, or were there other winners that carried on that theme for you?
I kind of feel like that she was the biggest one. She was the one that people were most focused on, just because no one had actually heard her sing in so long, because of, you know, she'd had throat surgery and canceled these tours, and people were worried if she'd ever sing again. And this was, you know, it was kind of dramatic as is, that, you know, this is going to be the first time that anyone would hear her sing in the better part of a year. And for her to, so not just the awards, but the performance also, you know, really made it seem like it was about, you know, about that, about the voice. And it kind of made things like, you know, Katy Perry and you know, things that were a little bit more about spectacle sort of feel that much more by the wayside in this particular incident, just because the idea of singing was already at the forefront of so many people's minds, just, you know, from sitting down, turning on the television last night at 8 o'clock.
And yet somebody like Katy Perry is dominating the music industry. Were the Grammys a reflection, do you think, of real life, of what's really happening on people's radios and on their iPods?
I guess, you know, for better or for worse. I mean, actually, no, I don't think that. I think it's indicative of some people's idea of what's happening, and the wrongness of that is actually indicative of the music industry. But the reality is no. I mean, I think in a way, some of the earlier awards and some of the nominations, I mean, things like Skrillex, you know, being nominated and actually winning a couple awards early in the evening, that actually is somewhat of a measure of what people are spending money on and listening to, and how that's different. But, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you have the show ending with Paul McCartney doing, you know, that Abbey Road medley and doing a guitar jam with, like, you know, Joe Walsh and Bruce Springsteen and Dave Grohl. And it's just doesn't really seem like it has anything to do with 2012 at all, which is actually in its own way very fitting for the Grammys.
Steve Kandel is editor-in-chief of Spin Magazine. Thank you so much. Obviously, the Grammys were focused on paying tribute to Whitney Houston. If you'd like to do the same, you can call us with your comments, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post it at thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.